From Forward, Montana, this is What the Helena.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to What the Helena.
All the giggles right off the bat. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Helena, the podcast where we dish on all things happening across the state. My name is Kat. My pronouns are they, she, and I am the community organizer here in Billings.
My name is Chloe. My pronouns are they, them, and I'm organizing here in Missoula. From the legislative session to court cases to local municipal elections, young people played a huge role in Montana politics this year. So for this episode, for the end of the year, we decided to do a little extra to close out 2023. We brought in some special guests, our friends here, who will introduce themselves in a bit. We played a little game with them and collected some of your thoughts and questions to put them all together and give you a rundown of what the hell in a even happened this last year.
All right, y'all. Remember the legislative session that happened at the beginning of the year? We will certainly never forget it. For this segment, we are actually going to play a matching game with our friends Jana and Cassidy. Do you two want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jana. My pronouns are they, them. I am here in Missoula.
And I'm Cassidy. My pronouns are she, her. And I'm the content specialist in Bozeman.
All right, y'all. What we're going to do is we're going to read each question and ask our lovely guests to match it with one of the bills. After we've gone through all of our questions, we will read off the answers and share some more facts and updates about the bills.
Thanks, Kat. All right. I hope you two remembered these bill numbers because we've got an exciting game for you. For our first bill, our hint is which one of these bills was blocked in court? The bills are SB 99, HB 889, HB 317, and HB 971. And Cassidy and Jana, feel free to chat and work together to decide what your answer is going to be.
Oh, yes. That one's super easy. That would be SB 99. Here in Missoula, we actually got to support a lot of trans youth up at the county courthouse in fighting to protect their rights. And it was such a beautiful day to join in community with folks. And special shout out to the ACLU for organizing such an incredible event. It was such a great time.
Yeah, I had a flash of panic after hearing all of these bill numbers again. I agree. I do think it's SB 99. I'm recalling some unconstitutional action with that one.
Awesome. All right.
Final answer.
Final answer, SB 99. Okay, we'll come back to this after we finish the rest of the questions.
Can we hear what each of the bills are about, or are we just going off of numbers?
No, we're just going off of numbers.
Just the vibes. Oh,
wow.
Just the
vibes. Wow. If you really just the vibes.
Yeah. You know, if you're really struggling, I'll give you another hint. But
that's okay.
I don't know. I kind of wanted it to be hard, so.
All right. Wow.
All right. Okay. Which one of these bills was vetoed by the governor? Is it HB 889, HB 317, or HB 971?
I remember this one because I made a walk card about it. So, Jana, do you remember anything about HB 8?
I do know it was related to the trailer park policy. I don't remember which number that was, though.
No, you're on it. It was the mobile home, one of the mobile home bills where it was tenants' rights for mobile homeowners. And the governor did veto it. And I believe it was HB 889.
Nice.
All right, final answer, HB 889. Marking that down. You've got two left. Thank you for playing our game. Okay, next question. Which of these bills did the Senate break its own rules to pass at the very last minute? Is it HB 317 or HB 971?
I'm feeling HB 317 just based off vibes alone.
Yeah, I'm trying. The numbers are so similar that I'm having a hard time as well. Let's see. Break its own rules to pass. I know that HB 317 is one of the bills that related to ICWA and the Indian Child Welfare Act. So,
yes, that is correct, Cassidy. So, yeah, well, no, HB 317 is the Montana ICWA bill, and HB 971 has to do with climate.
I can't remember if one of these passed, but I feel like if there is a bill about like restricting environmental protection, that feels familiar, and the Senate would have broken, I feel like, its own rule to pass something naughty.
Oh yeah, with the Constitution too.
That does fit their track record, but
yeah, I'm gonna guess HB 971.
Yeah, I'll switch my answer. I'll admit my vibes were wrong.
Okay, we're locking it in with HB 971 as the bill that the Senate broke its own rules to pass. Okay, so last question. I'm wondering if either of you remember a bill that was inspired by the Montana ICWA that also passed, and what it might have been called.
Wow. I just feel it's so funny to think back to the legislative session and just how many, just the sheer number of bills we were looking at, and feeling like I just like blacked out so much of it. Gosh, I like vaguely remember this, but I don't know what it was called.
If it helps, I think I have an idea, but I might not even remember. And I had to follow the legislative session very closely because I also tried to block it out as soon as we were done. I think I have an idea of which one it inspired, but I'm not sure. So, you know, there's that.
Kat, what's your guess?
Was it the MMIP like funding one for like the task force? Or is that a different one?
No, I mean, that's great. We love that bill, but we're going to get to the answer to that question in just a second. We're going to read off your answers, but I'm pleased to say that you two really won this game. Woo-hoo! 100%, blew it out of the park. Woo-hoo! I wish we had prizes for you right now, but your prize is eternal glory and fame.
And patting yourself on the back.
Yeah, our special guest stars on this podcast episode. Okay. Okay, so back to our first question. Which one of these bills was blocked in court? Cassidy and Jana correctly guessed SB 99, which was a bill banning gender-affirming care for minors. On September 27th of this year, the ACLU released a press statement saying that a Montana State District Court judge today blocked enforcement of Senate Bill 99, the discriminatory law that threatens the health and well-being of Montana transgender youth, by denying them access to the only evidence-based care for gender dysphoria. In his order, Judge Jason Marks finds SB 99 is unlikely to survive any level of constitutional review, and barring access to gender-affirming care would negatively impact gender dysphoric minors' mental and physical health. So this is a really great result, especially after following this bill for kind of throughout the session and being pretty nervous about the outcomes and seeing it continue to move through the chambers of the legislature. Happy to see that these checks and balances are checks and checking and balancing, and this is likely not going to go through. So really happy to hear that. Our next question was which one of these bills was vetoed by the governor, which was HB 889 that these two remembered was the mobile home owner protections. And it was only out of the 803 total bills that ended up on Greg Gianforte's desk, he only vetoed 22 of them. And this was one of them, and was just such a disappointment because it really would have helped protect mobile homeowners who are currently facing skyrocketing prices for the land that they rent underneath their homes, and would have been such a great win, giving them the same rights as other homeowners in regards to selling their homes and helping them have a standing against and protection from bad faith lot owners or corporations who can currently increase their rent or change policies pretty much without notice. Our governor, Greg Gianforte, stated that this bill would disincentivize landlords from maintaining or increasing the inventory of mobile home rental lots, and that it wouldn't help mobile homeowners. I don't know. Kat, you have any thoughts on that one before we go to our next bill?
Yeah, it, like, I was just reading out, like, an article from the Missoulian, but it was just like, Missoula Current, excuse me. But it was just, his statement was like, it won't help mobile homeowners. And it's like, that's literally what it's for. Why are you doing this? And a lot of statements, because it was also a bipartisan bill. Like, it had support from both sides of the line, and everyone was just like, this is a great idea. And then he's like, it's not a good idea. It's going to complicate things and take away rights from them and make everything worse. And we're like, is it though? I don't know about that. So.
Yeah. Our next bill, which of these bills did the Senate break its own rules to pass at the last minute? Yes, a very sneaky bill where the Senate really wanted to do something that I think they knew would not be taken favorably.
Yeah. So, fun fact, the MEPA, or the Montana Environmental Protection Agency, or like Department of Environmental Quality, there's a pre-existing thing, and we'll go into that with Held v. Montana later, but there's some pre-existing stuff saying like you can't consider climate change impacts or greenhouse gases or anything. And then this one would bar state regulators from including analyses of these greenhouse gas impacts and emissions, climate impacts, both within and outside of Montana's borders when they do reviews of large projects. Fun fact, the reason that they broke this rule and tried to introduce this bill and passed it was because of Held v. Montana. They were trying to prevent the court from being able to do this, from being able to tell them they can't do this. So, yeah, it was declared unconstitutional by Judge Seeley in the Held v. Montana case. But yeah, they broke their own rules to do that, and it was just ridiculous.
Yeah. Another great example of the courts actually working in our favor. So thanks, courts, for recognizing when the legislator is doing absolutely ridiculous things. I think, if I remember correctly, they only gave people 24 hours notice to comment on this huge bill, and, you know, tried to pass it past transmittal deadline. So it was past the time when they're supposed to have bills, you know, pass from one house to the other. And
yeah. And if y'all remember, whoever's listening, if you remember the episode we did about them breaking this rule to introduce this, despite only giving folks a very short amount of time to show up, everyone showed up, and it was amazing because everyone was like, no, this is a bad idea. Do not do this. And they're like, we're listening to you. Just kidding. Passed. And so it was just incredible to see so many Montanans show up against this bill, even on such short notice when they were trying to be really underhanded. It was on a Friday evening. They're like, oh, we're just going to sneak this through. And then people showed up Monday morning at freaking 8 a.m. to help be like, no, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, our last bill, which of these bills inspired a similar bill with a twist, is HB 317, or Montana ICWA. And the bill that it inspired was an ICWA for All Act, SB 328, which to me is just kind of funny because the title just, you know, that literally doesn't make sense, because how can you have Indian child welfare for all? Because I don't know, you guys get it, that's silly. But both of them passed, thankfully, and they were also both going through the legislature at the same time as the federal ICWA protections were being challenged at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, so the case, like, at the federal level that was being challenged was Holland versus Rakeen, and it was underway at that same time. There was an excellent podcast from This Land, which covered the case and its historical background in depth. It'll be linked in our description. Highly recommend checking it out. But the original ICWA was actually passed way back in 1978 after Congress heard testimony that hundreds of thousands of Native children were being taken from their homes by public and private agencies, and has since been described by proponents as the gold standard for child custody proceedings. So the fact that it was being challenged and then we passed it here in Montana was pretty cool and a good support for that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as much as it's silly that the other bill is called ICWA for All, I think that it makes sense to raise the standard for all child custody proceedings and practices, because there's a lot of kids out there who are really not being served well by the state. And hopefully this will benefit more Montana families. All right. Well, thank you guys for playing that game. We have one more bonus question for our trivia round, and it's this. To do a little intro, we've been hearing a lot about increases in property taxes recently. A lot of great articles out there about Montana property taxes going up, and people seem to have some, you know, both normal homeowners and also people in our legislature and our governor himself seem to have some conflicting views on who is really responsible for the statewide increase in property taxes. So I was just wondering what you two think is the answer to this question. The question is, what is responsible for the statewide increase in property taxes? Is it A, city governments, B, county governments, C, mercury is in the microwave, or D, state government? What do you think, Jana and Cassidy?
Ooh, this is a toughie. I think it's pretty obviously the state government. For those who were kind of watching a legislative session, watching a lot of our tax burden shift from corporations to our property owners and folks who have brought this up, I think, at city council, in other settings, wondering what here in Missoula, at least, you know, what our city council people and our mayor can do. And you know, and in some ways they've been saying that they kind of have their hands tied because of what has happened up at the state. So that's been a really relevant conversation and organizing spaces here.
Yeah, I think Jana put it perfectly. I know here in Bozeman, just the city councilors felt like their hands were tied when it came to some of these policies that their constituents on a more local level were asking for. And the kind of revealing thing to me was that our local governments actually do not have the power that we think they have when the state is deciding to kind of make these sweeping regulations and generalizations.
Yeah, you two are both correct. It is the state government's responsibility in this case. While our legislators were arguing about silly things like gametes and graphic novels and all the other thousands of bills, not thousands, I'm exaggerating here, but hundreds of bills, many of which were unnecessary, they were also forgetting to address a warning.
Hello?
Wait, can we start? I'm sorry.
It was incredible.
Legislators, this is the Department of Revenue.
Oh, hi. What's up?
We just wanted to let you know that since the value of all Montana homes is going up this year, if you don't reduce property tax rate, homeowners are really going to be hurting.
Sure.
You are going to do something about it, right? Otherwise, people are going to be paying hundreds of dollars more this year in property taxes. Wouldn't want to let that happen.
Wrong. They didn't do anything.
As a result, friends, we have now got a median 21% increase in residential property taxes. The governor and some prominent Republican lawmakers even have the audacity to blame local governments for driving up the property taxes because, you know, they didn't take away a bunch of rights from local governments this year. Not at all. That's not at all what they were doing. Right. Anyway, obviously, so much more happened during the legislative session with over 1,600 bills in total, 1,698 or 1,698 resolutions and other measures as well. All of those introduced and a lot of shenanigans. And if you want to take a trip down memory lane, go listen to the Legislative Session episodes of the podcast. But now it's time for one of my favorites. Remember earlier when I was talking about Held v. Montana? So when we were talking about House Bill 971, I mentioned the Held v. Montana case, which was historic for several reasons, and we covered that. We did also cover that earlier this year. Now, this case was really amazing and also frustrating and ultimately inspiring to follow. And it's also not the first time that youth have demanded that their government actually do something about climate change and its increasingly drastic impacts. It is, however, the first time courts have ruled in the youth's favor here in the US, which is awesome. So the ruling in Held v. Montana in favor of Held, or the youth that all collectively sued together, strikes the Montana Environmental Protection Agency's decision, which forbade state agencies from, quote, considering the impacts of greenhouse gas emissions or climate change in their environmental reviews, end quote. And it also struck down SB 557 from this year's legislative session, which tried to tell the courts that they couldn't halt or stop any permits for projects if the reason was climate change. Massive eye roll here. So the court ruling in favor of the youth of Montana and our constitutional right to a healthy environment made both of these unconstitutional, which is an excellent step in the right direction. The downside of this is that while the court's ruling will make the state consider climate impacts for projects, it doesn't really have much power to make the state deny approvals, even if they've, quote, considered, massive air quotes here, potential impacts, which is a bit worrisome considering that the Montana Attorney General's office, they didn't contest the extensive research in support of climate change impacts that was offered by Held and the youth in the trial, but they still asserted after they lost the ruling that, quote, our state has no impact on the global climate, end quote. Despite the fact stating that sometimes Montana exceeds the emission amounts of some large countries, depending on the year and what we're doing. So all that to say, a win is still a win. Every little bit helps. And this case provides a template for others across the country and has given climate activists here in Montana and beyond more tools in the toolbox to keep pushing forward for a clean climate and better future for everyone.
You know what's happening at the same time as the Held v. Montana case? Pride Month. We got to visit 9 Pride celebrations across the state, and we put out the 3rd edition of Transcending Joy, which is our zine by and for queer and trans Montanans. If you haven't gotten a chance to read it, it's available digitally on our website, so please go and check that out if you haven't already. But I was really curious to hear from everybody what their favorite part of Pride was this year, and I'll just start by saying that I really enjoyed that for a bit we thought that doing Pride might be sort of illegal. So there was a couple prides that I went to where, and obviously not naming cities or locations, but where, you know, they kind of had like secret drag shows. And I thought that was kind of fun. I don't like being criminalized as a queer person, but I enjoy when people are willing to be gay and do crimes.
Love that. Yeah, so many beautiful moments during Pride Month this year, and I was excited to get to be a part of Missoula's and Billings Pride, which was great. But I would say a big highlight for me here in Missoula was that we had our zine release reading and dance party. The Friday of Pride had lots of folks who were both in the zine and not in the zine come read poetry and other writing about being queer. And it just felt like such a warm space to really hold each other in our joy and all of our other emotions around being queer in Montana. And then, yeah, the party to kind of wiggle all that excess energy out. I loved at the Zach where we had that party. It was, I believe, the only all ages party that was that night. So we had such a huge range of folks at the event, and it was just lovely to, yeah, get to chat with and dance with so many people in the Missoula community. Yeah, that were both new friends and old. So yeah, that one will stick with me for a long time.
I love that, Jana. And you made me remember, I was also there for that, and I was helping out in the lobby area, and there was a kiddo, not really a kiddo, pardon me, friend, but somebody who was definitely under 18. They were there with a parent, and like me, they were having some sensory issues because it was also very loud. And I happened to bring like earplugs, like foam earplugs that were like brand new because I needed them even outside in the lobby area. And then this kid was like looking so hopeful about going in there and having a good time and being their true self with their family there. But they were like, it's too loud. And so they turned around to leave. And then I was like, hey, like, what are you like not wanting to go? Because I wasn't sure if I was reading the situation. And they're like, it's just really loud. And they were kind of shy about it, but they were just so cool and cute. And so I gave them like a clean pair and a new pair of earplugs. And it was just the highlight. That was such a highlight of Missoula Pride for me. Because they also came to like another workshop later in the next day. And it was really cool to connect with them and just be like, I got you. This is wonderful. I'm so glad you're here. You have supportive family. And here, go enjoy yourself in there. I know it's loud. I'd forgotten about that until now. So thank you, Jana, for bringing that up. My other highlight that I had written down was just like, no matter how big or small the celebration, whether it was the giant Missoula dance party, whether it was the tiny Red Lodge, like little celebration, it was just seeing all of the joy and like the connections people made. And that was just my favorite thing. We also painted rocks that we hauled across the state, and then people could paint rocks and join the group or leave them out everywhere. And that was really fun.
Yeah, it's so sweet hearing you all reflect on these warm moments, especially as things are getting like colder and cooler, just kind of having some of these like warm memories feels really meaningful. There's so many great moments. One of my favorite moments was in Missoula at the roller derby event, where I just witnessed this like very touching moment where these two people were on skates skating around and showing each other, opening up the zine and showing each other different pages and pieces. And it felt like bearing witness to like real connection through queer art. It was just so tender, and I felt so honored that I got to watch that with my eyeballs. So that makes me feel very good.
It was so wonderful. So wonderful, and also awesome that Pride in Montana was not just 1 month. We would not be limited to just June. Pride just kept going, and I really love that about it, because we got to be going to Pride celebrations almost up until we started really thinking about the local municipal elections, which is our next big update here. We we really got out here and talked to folks on our doors and in the streets saying, hey, you should vote in the local municipal elections on November 7th. And you know what? People did. And, you know, for better or for worse, I'm happy that we played a part in getting people to participate in their local government. But I think we did a great job of really getting out there and talking to a lot of folks. From the beginning of October until November 7th, we knocked on a total of 12,994 doors statewide, reminding folks to vote in their local elections. In Billings, we knocked on, well, Kat and Perry and assorted volunteers knocked on 2,689 doors. In Missoula, we knocked on 5,148 doors. Yeah, let's go.
Woo, woo.
Yeah, our goal was a little bit higher, but I was like, we can never. That's not even possible.
No.
But
it was a shoot for the stars.
5,000. I couldn't even imagine, but I guess we really did it. So thanks everyone who helped with that. In Bozeman, where our friend Cassidy is, they knocked on 4,603 doors. That's amazing. And in Whitefish in Columbia Falls, where one of our brand new field organizers is, he knocked on 554 doors. So great job, everybody. Thanks to everyone who got out there and voted. It's really important, especially in these smaller elections. We actually had a really kind of funny example here in Missoula that just reminded me of how important it is to, like, your vote really does matter. Do you want to tell us about this?
Oh yeah. My gosh. Yes. I'm going to use this to convince people to vote for the rest of my life. So here in Missoula, we, after a recount, found out that our Ward 6 city council race ended up in a dead tie. I think we're just a couple votes that had been write-ins that weren't processed by the ballot readers, and just a couple small discrepancies. But, you know, that really means that our recount system, our voting system is really secure, and that, you know, thankfully every vote really did get to count. There was a little bit of drama because they were thinking about whether or not to do a coin toss to decide who was going to win. I those make your odds pretty even. But, you know, because of state law, you can't actually send tied votes back to the voters. Something to maybe think about and talk to your state legislators about in the future. But city council actually had to decide that at our last city council meeting, after some multiple votes, multiple tied votes, even on city council, finally, our incumbent ended up getting reappointed by our city council. So, just a call for anybody who was thinking about voting. One more vote would have changed something. One more vote.
So. One more vote, and the result wouldn't have been put in the hands of people who are already on city council. Like,
yeah,
it would have still remained in the hands of the people. You know,
in the people, the truly. People,
our people hands. Well, you know, I'm excited to see what our new city councils are going to be doing in the next. How many years until the next election?
Oh, well, they're 4-year terms here. So they alternate. But yeah, in different parts of the state, I suppose there were also some other seats too.
Mm-hmm.
City commissioner, I think, in Bozeman.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor. We elected some mayors.
We did elect some mayors.
I would also be remiss if we didn't talk about our candidate forums. During the local elections, because I'm still hearing in Missoula about our mayoral candidate forum and hot ones.
What a blast.
What a blast. Getting to eat hot wings with all of our mayoral candidates and ask them some hard-hitting and some soft-hitting questions was such a joy. And yeah, I even just last week, somebody in a meeting that I was in mentioned that that was maybe the most fun candidate forum they've ever been to, and they're still thinking about it. And that's just a testament to how creative ideas can really, really bring the people in and really engage folks in new and exciting ways when sometimes a lot of these races and elections feel really inaccessible and really kind of stuffy. Really hit home.
It was a standing room only candidate forum. Plus, we got some great photos of mayoral candidates drinking milk that I will cherish for the rest of my life.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, Kat, do you have any takeaways from the Billings elections?
Yeah, in Billings, there was quite a good turnout, I think. Pretty good turnout of folks at the polls. We had candidate forums, and for every single ward, there's 5 wards in Billings that were having elections. So it was really cool to have so many candidate forums. Perry, I'm definitely not getting her title right, but she is incredible. She did so much work pulling all those together, and she and the handful of volunteers definitely knocked so many awesome doors and talked to so many people. So it was really great to see turnout and chat with people about, hey, like, here's why this is important. Here's the impact you can have. And it was really cool to kind of remind folks why and how they can be involved. All right, y'all, we are almost to the end of this episode, and we did something really fun this time, which means we asked for messages from you. So one friend named Tracy says, I had a goal to get more plugged into local government news and love your open dialogues. Thank you, Tracy. We really appreciate that feedback. We have been loving being silly on these podcasts and also being engaging and helping folks get plugged in. And then one other person named Court asked, what keeps you going and gets you through in this work? So I think that we should all take a jab at answering that question. Go ahead, Cassidy.
Well, a big part of what keeps me in this work is my colleagues and friends who I get to kind of share the agony and the celebration of learning more about politics with. This job is great for getting to kind of know more about what's happening in the state, and I really appreciate that. But it's really the people that I get to like work alongside with that keeps me going and makes me feel motivated, inspires me. And yeah, just kind of relying on some of those social support systems keeps me through. And I have a fire in my belly for all the young people who are just trying to envision a better world.
I love that, Cassidy. Like the bit about all of it, community and how we all help us support each other. That's awesome. All right. How about you, Jana?
Yeah. What keeps me going in this work? I think just the small moments of feeling really deep community connectedness, and that goes, you know, well beyond just the work that happens at Forward Montana. I am being reminded of at the tail end of the legislative session, we had this really beautiful event where we all came together with members in the Missoula community and created poetry and collages out of the anti-trans and anti-queer bills that were coming out of the legislature, and just sitting with people and sharing food and making art together and building lasting relationships. People that I chatted there, I have, you know, deepened relationships with since then. And yeah, just thinking about moments like that where you feel so, so deeply intertwined with the people, and it really kind of solidifies, you know, why this work is so important. It matters that people feel connected to their community. It matters that people feel, you know, not alone in their experiences, whether that be in queerness or in other experiences that they have. And that, yeah, we can really just show support and solidarity with each other, because this fight is gonna be lifelong. And it's important that we have people we can lean on and support systems that are sustainable. And doing this work to really provide spaces for people to find that community and find those support systems just really makes all the rest of it worth it.
Yes. What about you, Chloe?
Well, thanks, Jana, for that. I feel like when I saw this question, I was really like, what does keep me going and gets me through? And the first thing I thought about was naps, both literal and metaphorical naps and rest. And it reminded me of this quote from Trisha Hersey's Rest is Resistance manifesto. She's like the founder of Nap Ministries and shared this really great wisdom, which is we must believe we are worthy of rest. We don't have to earn it. It is our birthright. It is one of our most ancient and primal needs. We gotta rest, you know, because this is like work forever. Like, at least for me, and I think for a lot of people I know, including all of y'all here, like we have this understanding that, you know, the work to make this world a better place and to create worlds that we want, you know, people of the future to live in and thrive in, like that work is never going to end, but our, you know, our bodies are finite, our energy is finite, and remembering to rest and remembering to prioritize our needs, I think is really valid, because like we, as people who are kind of striving for liberation and change in the world, like we need to recognize that we're a part of the people that we want to change. So yeah, that's all.
Oof, yeah, that's so powerful. That, like, you know, you caring for your community is important, and caring for yourself is also caring for community, because you are part of the community. I love that so much. Well, thank y'all for contributing to that. My answer was just that, kind of what everyone has also been saying, that the connections that we can make in this work and the voices we can support and uplift and empower so that they can go on and make all those different changes and improvements for everybody is just so humbling and inspiring and wonder-filling. And yeah, I just love it so much. All right, back to Chloe.
Thanks, Kat. And now we must leave you. But before we leave you, we have a message from one of the former, or honestly, like the main host of this podcast, Izzy. So we're going to play a message from Izzy. Wow. I don't know what I'm going to say. It seems very silly to be like, that was great.
Thanks, Izzy.
Thanks, Izzy. Great message.
Why don't you just say, like, thank you so much for leading this team and creating this podcast. We really appreciate you, Izzy.
Okay. Why don't you
just like, oh shit. Okay. Thanks so much for all your hard work and leading this podcast and bringing us together. We really appreciate you, Izzy, always.
Yes, many thanks. Well, now we're really at the end of our time. And, you know, it's been a year. And something that I keep saying when people ask me how I am is that I'm on the bike, you know. I'm just going to keep pedaling and see where it takes me. And I'm happy that this has kind of been this podcast has been something to work on and look forward to. And I'm excited to see where it goes in the next year. I'm also going to be not on the podcast anymore, but I'm going to keep listening to it. And according to my Spotify Wrapped, it was my number 5 podcast. So, you know, I'm a I'm a real fan.
I think one of the things I have said so many times on the episodes of What the Helena that I've been on is just to continue, you know, taking care of yourself, because doing that allows you to take care of your community, and like allowing your community to take care of you too. Like communicating what you need, being open and vulnerable, all of that allows others to do the same. And so you're like giving yourself permission to do that, you're giving others permission. And the more authentic and vulnerable and wonderful we can be to ourselves, the more our community can do that as well. So keep taking care of yourselves. This podcast is wonderful and I'm excited to see where it goes.
All right. Well, until next time, continue to live, laugh, and love.
Cute. Yeah, this was so fun. Love you.
Love y'all. Yeah, cool.
This has been What the Helena.
You can subscribe to What the Helena on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Bye.